Trending Mobile Technology, episode 100, hosted right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for another round of Trending Mobile Technology with your mobile host, Piper the DJ, right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Now, I got a lot of stuff to get into today, a lot of feedback from the last time I broadcast. I apologize I took a week off, but, spring break happens, and even though I am a non-traditional kind of guy, I didn't really go anywhere, but last week was extremely busy for me, and we'll just kind of go forward from there. But I am back. This is episode 100. I am here by myself today. I've got the calendar lined out to have some guests show up to celebrate the anniversary or the event, whichever way you want to call it. But, different things are going on. I do have Mr. Old School, who's going to be making an appearance very quickly, Only One Mart, as well as my advocate for the iOS, Obi-Wan Jabroni. If there is anybody else out there who would like to show up as a special guest, feel free. Reach out to me, pipethedj@gmail.com. You can also look me up on Google Hangouts under the same handle, and Twitter, if you so choose. Now, getting right into it. I've already given you contact information, and I want to start out really quick. In response to a story that I did last time I was on concerning a technology cleanse, many people are opting to give up technology for Lent. If you're Catholic, you know exactly what that means. If you're not Catholic, you might not know. But during the Lent season, which is a time that leads up to Easter, certain religions give up a particular item. Some give up meat, some give up overeating, some give up overindulgency, gluttony, etc. Typically the seven sins that are related in the Old Testament. Some people actually in current society are moving to give up technology. And Mr. Old School, he kind of reached out. He's like, technology cleanse? And he says, quote, in all caps, fuck that noise. Just do shit in moderation. The fucking cleansing. Yeah, right. And he does hashtag AH Walker, hashtag vegan hipsters. Moderation is everything, ladies and gentlemen. Let's understand this. Anything and everything that you do should be done in moderation. That's the basis of just about anything and everything that you'll hear coming out of everybody that's on this network. And this leads me into a new campaign that I've become part of. I've actually been a part of this campaign for quite a while, and I actually took a more dominant stance on this, just for the simple fact I've seen the way that this can affect lives. I've seen what it can do to people. I've actually witnessed it firsthand, and I found it really disturbing. So this PSA is in support of the Don't Text and Drive campaign, okay? I do drive. I have the ability to drive. I'm not the best driver on the face of the earth, just for the simple fact that while I might classify myself as a reasonable driver, the people around me tend to be a little bit more not as cautious. I'm the kind of guy where I prefer to get to where I'm going in one piece, and I don't get in a hurry when I get there. I make sure I leave the house in plenty of time to get to point B, wherever that might be. And so therefore, I tend to be a little bit more relaxed. I'm the kind of guy where when I get in the car, my phone goes on my hip and it stays there. I mean, I do have a Bluetooth hands-free set that I have available that, if a phone call comes in, I'm hands-free, things of that nature. My Nexus is set up in such a way to where I'm able to use voice commands to control my phone if absolutely and totally necessary. But the whole thing is, folks, don't text while driving, okay? That momentary distraction, the momentary distraction that you are presented with when you're behind the wheel is, you'd be surprised what can happen. You'd be surprised how many times, whether I'm on public transit or I'm driving myself, I see somebody who's rear-ended somebody else. Why? Because they were texting while driving. Other situations, I've seen people run into signposts, blow stop signs, run into a collision or something of that nature. Here in Illinois, they've made a major campaign and a huge push to advocate against no technology while you're behind the wheel, or distracted driving is what it chalks up to. A recent report that was released, many law enforcement officials are they're if they even see a device, they can automatically cite you. I don't believe that's something that's dominant here in Illinois, but this leads into a huge controversy between GPS, interactive dashboards, things of that nature. It all comes back to exactly what old school said: moderation. Okay, understand, and people know if like the wife, the in-laws, people that I'm in contact with on a regular basis, they know if they text me while I'm driving, I will not respond. There's been plenty of times where I'll pull off into a parking lot if I'm expecting a text message, or I'm advised that, you know, the wife has texted me or the boss has texted me or something of that nature. Many times I'll pull off into a parking lot so I can respond to that text. I have really taken the standpoint of anti-text while driving. Matter of fact, this morning on my way to school, I take public transit to school because it's just easier that way. Parking sucks in this area, and so it's easier for me just to take public transit and not have to worry about it. Takes a little bit longer to get to and from school, but, you know, that's something that I can understand. Just for the simple fact, as a student here, I get free rides on the bus, and it works. I mean, we have a very good public transit system. I can get just about anywhere I need to go in an hour, and that's actually pretty good compared to most public transit systems that are out there. So a little bit of planning on my part turns into saving money on the long side. And I was on the bus this morning doing some reading, and I happened to look up just as I saw somebody swerve from missing another car. And in one hand, they had the steering wheel. In their other hand, they had their phone. And I looked at that, and I was like, you know, if you hadn't looked up at the right time, you could have gotten yourself in a lot of trouble. The biggest thing, 2 weeks ago, there was a story that made the newspaper, the local newspaper, where somebody had rear-ended a school bus because they were texting. And this was something that really spoke out in my mind, because school buses transport kids, and they transport kids to schools or field trips or something, you know, things of that nature. And as a parent, I'm trusting that school bus and that driver to safely transport my kid to and from school, to and from an event, something of that nature. I'm also trusting the drivers that are around that will respect the school bus, okay? Our school buses, they're bright yellow, okay? You can't see them in the dark, but on any given day, they stand out. They're a high-profile vehicle. They're painted different colors, different from your typical automobile. And so if you get close to one, you know it. And how an individual happened to rear-end a school bus is beyond me. But that the report did go on to cite that the individual was cited with distracted driving, texting while driving, things of that nature. So just remember, folks, this is my public service announcement. I don't do this very often, okay? But I am just saying, be safe when you're out there. Exercise moderation, and be safe when you're out there doing what you're doing. For the simple fact that everything that you do, could potentially have a non-likable outcome. If you're behind that wheel and you're driving, think of it this way. You are driving a death machine, because if you distract yourself, you get in an accident, you could hit somebody else, you could run somebody over. I mean, even hitting the school bus, you know, just that momentary lapse is enough to cause any types of problems. So remember, folks, moderation. There's plenty of apps that are out there, plenty of app developers out there. AT&T has really taken on this crusade. Don'tTextAndDrive.com is out there as well. If you just Google Don't Text and Drive campaign, you will literally be assaulted with thousands of websites that are dedicated to this campaign. If you're not sure where to start, there's plenty of places to go with this. And my plea to you, my plea is nothing, no text message on the face of this earth is so important that you have to distract yourself while driving, okay? Coming as a father, coming as an individual who is as technologically switched on as I am, I can even separate myself from my technology in an effort not only for safety for myself, but safety of those that are around me. And with that in mind, just remember, it's more than just you that you're affecting there, okay? It's more than just you. And if you have a hard time wrapping your head around that, plenty of YouTube videos that are out there where somebody was in an accident because of distracted driving or texting while driving, or they just couldn't put their phone down long enough to take care of something. You get an important text message, you get an important phone call, you get something that just requires your attention, pull off. There's parking lots all over the place, and nobody will ever fault you for pulling off, okay? The only person you might have to explain, oh, it's just a second. You know, a lot can happen in 1 second, even if you're traveling at 40 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, okay? The amount of damage that you can cause, even at a slow speed, that one moment is just, it's enough. It's enough. So heed my warning, heed Mr. Old School's warning, exercise moderation, folks. That's all you need. Exercising moderation. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's my soapbox. I'm off it now, so let's move on. Despite my last request on my last show, please stop sending me questions comparing one device to another. I did receive another comparison, the Note 4 versus the Nexus 6. to be completely honest, to do hardware comparison between the two would be a more dominant stance for me, just the simple fact that the Note 4 is a Samsung device and it contains TouchWiz. So therefore, I look at that from the perspective and say the Note automatically loses, just for the simple fact it has TouchWiz. I did a little bit of research and I did some looking, and I actually picked up a comparison where they put the S6 against the Note 4. Two Galaxy devices, two TouchWiz-enabled devices, two Samsung-enabled devices. And once again, no matter what comparison survey you look at, whether it be one device to another, it boils down to what I've been saying for 100 episodes now. What do you want your device to do? In certain situations, the Note 4 shines. In other situations, the Nexus 6 shines. In even other situations, the S6 shines. Even though the Note 4 is still stuck on 4.4 KitKat, and the S6, there's a controversy behind that, which I might get into at some other time, okay? But despite the operating systems, each device has its market that it plays to, okay? Bottom question, what do you want your device to do? I'm not going to get in and actually compare hardware to hardware or software to software, just for the simple fact, in my opinion, any Samsung device is at a loss for the simple fact TouchWiz, even on the new S6, still has problems. I have gotten plenty of questions about why there wasn't a Note 5 announced, and to date, as of the time of this recording, there was still no proper explanation as to what's happened with the Note 5. No word from Samsung in their dev camp as to what is going to happen with the Note 5, if the Note 4 is just going to ride off into the sunset, if there's going to be another release concerning the Note series. Samsung is, however, focusing on their Tab series and their newest tablets that are going to be coming out. So good reports coming out on the new Tab line for Samsung concerning, you know, whether it be TouchWiz or whatever, rooted, unrooted, things of that nature. Different things going on as far as that goes. And we'll just, I'll watch with interest to see exactly what is going to happen with all of that, for the simple fact that I want to see Samsung pull themselves up by their bootstraps with this, okay? I was a Samsung fan for the very longest time, then I just grew disgusted with all the tweaking and finagling and things of that nature. I mean, having to root my device, keep up to date with security updates, things of that nature. And so, you know, just various aspects of the Samsung camp. I want to see them correct these errors and get themselves back up to where they should be. There was another question that was posed. What is the best Chromebook that is out there? Mr. Old School and I, we had a conversation months ago concerning the Chromebook series. And basically what Chromebook is, it's nothing more than a glorified browser in laptop form, Okay, as long as you have an internet connection, the Chromebook will work for you. And the question was posed, what is the best Chromebook that's out there? Every major laptop manufacturer has what they classify as their flagship Chromebook, and they have pros and cons. One big pro to the Chromebook is if you can find yourself living primarily inside of a browser, then this will work for you. There are more and more Chromebook-related apps that are becoming available. They have enhanced audio editing apps that are available now. They even have video editing apps where it's entirely cloud-based. Those of you folks that are Adobe Studio fans know that their entire suite now is available in the cloud. And if you know, depending on the type of laptop you're running, this will run that as well. Toshiba makes a very good one. Dell has even stepped up their game. Acer has a good one that's out there, depending again on what you want. Many people are citing the 720p resolution on the new Acer line. It's a little disturbing when it comes to graphics. And then, of course, with the Dells, they do come with fans to help moderate the temperature flow inside. And the Toshibas, they don't always have fans with them, and the screens, even though they are 1080p IPS display, some people are noticing dead pixels early on. So, you know, if you're going to go out and you're going to make a purchase for a Chromebook, make sure you make an educated decision based on the information that's available. One big toss of the opinion poll came in concerning the Google Chromebook version 2 that was released. It's a $1,200 unit, and I like the Pixel. I will never own a Pixel because I can't justify spending that much money on a browser, but the LTE capability that is available for the Chromebook Pixel is something that is interesting to me. Now, I can hotspot with my phone. Being on T-Mobile, I do have unlimited data. So if I ever needed a hotspot, I could easily enable that and utilize a Chromebook that way. A Chromebook is on the horizon for me, probably here in the next year or so. I intend to add that to my repertoire for the simple fact that I like to keep my MacBook Air at home to use that as a primary studio. And the more time I spend on campus, the more and more I realize that my Nexus 7 is just, it's a little limited for a lot of things, okay? And just, it's difficult to accomplish some tasks where on a full screen display, I could do a lot more things. And having, you know, a lot of the things that I do are browser based, okay? They just added OneDrive here at the university, which, I must say, is very impressive. Yes, Mr. Old School, you can quote me. It's very impressive. For years, I have advocated against Microsoft and what they've done. However, the OneDrive, the complete OneDrive suite is available to me as a student. I can utilize Excel Cloud, Office Cloud, their databasing program. I can utilize that. I can utilize their PowerPoint program, all from within the cloud. And there's a certain amount of space that's allocated to me as a student to utilize within OneDrive. And it makes things so much easier with collaboration. A, I don't have to clog up my Google Drive. B, I don't have to re-specify who has rights to this folder and not. I can throw it all on my OneDrive. Everybody has access to it. I can put it in a shared folder, send people links, and move forward from there. So I will say that Microsoft OneDrive is, having used it here recently, for browser-based support, I think OneDrive would be invaluable on a Chromebook. Okay, HP also makes a very good Chromebook. However, many people are reporting that the battery life on them is a little lacking. The Samsung Chromebooks that are out there, many people are citing that the processors are a little lagging and just various things of that nature. The Yoga books that are out there, solid design. Once again, though, it depends on what you want out of your book, whether it be your Chromebook, your phone, your tablet, it doesn't matter. With the Chromebook, the yoga pad, it is the one where the screen will swivel around. You can use it as a tablet. It comes touch-enabled, at a little over $400, this is a reasonable device. The ThinkPad Yoga, this is the second iteration that's come out, and it looks, I mean, if I had my choice, I mean, despite the fact that it's a 14-inch unit, if I had my choice, this looks like something that would be interesting to me for the simple fact that I use a tablet on a regular basis. If I were to incorporate a ThinkPad Yoga, I might be able to incorporate this to replace my tablet. I'm not quite sure. A little bit more research required on my part concerning that. Acer also has a 1080 that's out there. They've announced it, but it's not out for production yet. It'll be a 11-inch or 13-inch tablet, Chromebook, sorry. Supposed to be the lightest that's out there on the market, and it's also supposed to have slightly above reasonable battery life, which means you'll get 8 to 12 hours on regular use. Now, enough about the Chromebooks. We'll get back into the mobile space here. Fierce Wireless is a company that really has their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the mobile space. And 4 times a year, they put out a report and they evaluate all the cellular providers, but I'm just going to break down the top 4 here for you. Verizon Wireless with 131 million subscribers, they are up from fourth quarter 1.36%. A lot of that move is based on the fact that they just recently landed the Nexus 6. Whether you are going to be able to bring your own Nexus 6 to the Verizon network has still yet to be determined. Many people in the Nexus community, they've just pretty much written off Verizon, and that number has gone down significantly over 2014, but they are showing a bit of an increase as 2015 gets started. Like I said, up 1.36%. AT&T, the number 2 carrier in the continental United States, 120 million subscribers. That is up 1.59%. Sprint is 55.5 million subscribers. That's up 2.89%. Sprint is really pushing to get subscribers. They have started a brand new campaign. It's what they call their out-of-the-hole campaign. I'm not quite sure why they came up with that. But their philosophy behind it is if you bring in your old device, submit your final bill, Sprint will credit you, whether it be early termination fees, old device bills, and they will even move your number over. Now, the question that I have concerning this is how do you get to keep your number? Because 9 times out of 10, when you terminate from an old carrier, if you have an outstanding balance, you have to wait until your carrier releases your number before you can port it to a new carrier. How long this entire process will actually take is unknown. This campaign was recently announced by Sprint, I believe 2 weeks ago, and it's got a lot of eyebrows going up. And going up 2.89%, I mean, they are higher than Verizon Wireless and AT&T. There's still a huge gap between the number 2 and the number 3 slot, but Sprint is making moves to get themselves moved up. Now, coming up in number 4, obviously, is T-Mobile. They are 55.01 million subscribers, just a little bit under Sprint. They are up 3.12%. Now, as a user of T-Mobile, I look at this and I say, wow. I mean, the Uncarrier campaign is doing great things for T-Mobile. John Ledger is impressed with this. He was a little irritated that they didn't quite take number 3. But I'm very confident to look at this and say that given the current trend, T-Mobile might be able to take over Sprint here within the next year. Recently, T-Mobile also had their Uncarrier event 9. They focused it towards businesses, obviously less expensive than everybody else. If you live in a place that is saturated with T-Mobile, this could be a place for you. I mean, they have Wi-Fi calling and just about on a lot of their devices, not all of them, but a lot of their devices. They are increasing their 700 megahertz band support and moving on. T-Mobile is doing, they're doing it right as far as I'm concerned. They're making things interesting for those who are willing to switch. And being up 3.12% in the first quarter, that says it right there. I mean, T-Mobile, their network is growing. It's becoming more stable. I've been talking to plenty of people that I know in the mobile industry, and Sprint, their LTE network, is just a little bit higher their speed is just a little bit higher than the other three. Verizon, obviously, they're oversaturated, okay? Their network can't support as many users as they have, and users are paying for that in speeds. Now, some users that's important to, other users it's not. Me, personally speaking, I can't justify paying the Verizon and the AT&T prices to get just a little bit better reliability, okay? Everywhere I go with T-Mobile, if I'm not close to a network, I will be close, or if I'm traveling or something of that nature, I always have phone connectivity. I might not always have data, but that's not that important to me. Majority of places I go to when I've stopped traveling, I have the ability to utilize wireless. I have wireless at school. I have wireless at home. I have wireless at work now. And I have that ability to step forward with T-Mobile and utilize that. I mean, the $100 for four devices, the family plan that they have, I can't complain with that. I can't beat that anywhere. And needless to say, T-Mobile with their Un-carrier campaign is continuing to raise eyebrows and draw interest. Last week, Apple had their Spring Forward event. They announced a new MacBook, and they announced a virtual reality competitor. But the big thing was their new watch. And just the simple breakdown on this, pre-orders will start 10 April. Prices starting at $349, going all the way up to over $10,000. First question raised in my mind is, why would I pay $10,000 for a watch? I haven't bought a watch in a very long time, and why would I want to spend that much money just to put something on my wrist? There's over 20 different models, three basic designs. You've got the Sport, you've got the Watch, and you've got the Edition. All are compatible with any iOS 8.2 device with an 18-hour battery, and there's over 100 apps that are available. They really advocated for this. I watched this event a couple different times, and it looked to me like Apple was starting to downgrade a little bit because their production looked a little bit like the Apple or like the Samsung events that I've consistently ridiculed over the years. Many carriers in the continental United States are raising questions as to whether or not they will actually sell these. So I have on pretty good authority that primary place you're going to get these will be from the Apple store themselves. Obi-Wan Jabroni reached out to me. He is my authority when it comes to the iOS. And he says, quote, "The Apple Watch? Ha! Too many models, too expensive, too confusing due to the said too many models. I am genuinely pissed off. Steve Jobs would have said not all these models and not all these watch bands are necessary," unquote. And I definitely agree with Obi-Wan on this. It's too complicated. Just watching this press event, I noticed quite a few different things going on with the watch. For example, we're back into the trend where people want a phone on their wrist. And I still don't understand why. We are past the Dick Tracy era, folks. If I wanted a watch on my wrist, I would get one of those modifiable armbands and put my phone on my wrist. I don't care. My phone is with me 95% of the time. And if not, I've got Bluetooth plugged in. I don't need a phone on my wrist. I don't want a phone on my wrist. If somebody's out there listening to this and you can see a place where having a phone on your wrist would work for you, reach out to me. Let me know. PiperTheDJ@gmail.com. PiperTheDJ on Twitter. I would be very interested to see and hear how you would utilize a phone on your wrist, okay? Or a phone on your wrist in coordination with your smart device or any type of mobile device. If you have an opinion, reach out. Let me know. For the first time in about 5 years, Apple beat Samsung. Apple's percent share 20.4 over the 19.9 from Samsung in quarter one of 2015. This could be attributed to the problems that Samsung has been having recently, where they've kind of plateaued. Their production level has kind of gone down a little bit. Many people were underwhelmed by the Samsung Galaxy S5, so therefore sales were going from that would have gone to Samsung went to Apple. because many people are saying that Samsung, Apple, pretty much the same thing. Samsung, you get the iCloud. Samsung, you get the Samsung Cloud and all the other things that go along with that. It's boiling down to the sauce, okay? And Mr. Old School, once again, I can definitely appreciate everything that you've given me with that. The sauce, okay? Samsung wants, they've tried for years to be just like Apple, and now they're to that point. But customers are saying, this looks just like an iPhone, so why don't I get the iPhone and all the things that go along with the Apple community? Many people who are longtime Mac users are putting down their Samsung devices and picking up iPhones and saying that the learning curve is not as significant as many people would think. And I looked at that and I read it, and it's one of those things where I had to read it again just for the simple fact I needed to make sure that I was reading it correctly. The Android 5.1 update has officially been released. It's not on structured rollout yet, but it has been released. The ROMs are available for download, and you can install them through the ADB or debugging port. My question or my thought to this, as much I do have the means and the capability to manually flash this ROM, okay? But I've never been one to automatically pick up a ROM and immediately flash it, like the day of. It came out last week, the 5.1 Lollipop. It is out for the Nexus 10, the Nexus 5, the Nexus 7, the Nexus 6, and the various flavors that are in between. Both generations of the Nexus 7 are currently available, and all the devices, for the tablets at least, it's for the Wi-Fi enabled. It's not for the LTE. Those are still in development. So a little bit of patience on there. Plenty of sites that are out there giving you the opportunity, you know, step by step to get through how to sideload this ROM onto your device. An unlocked bootloader is required, okay? But many people are citing that the updates and the upgrade is proving significant benefits to any device that's out there, okay? So just so that everybody understands, it is out there. It is scheduled for structured rollout here in the next couple months. The OTA will be on its way very shortly, depending on who your carrier is. A lot of carriers, you know, that they're going through, they want to put their sauce on it before they roll it out. Many times as well, Google just goes ahead and they automatically update, okay? Because the Google framework, the sauce that comes in from your carrier will automatically be embedded on the device. So the 5.1 update will just come through in structured rollout, and it could just be a simple overlay. So look to see that showing up on your devices here in the next couple months. Hopefully more information on this is available as it comes through. The folks at XDA developers have been working very diligently on this to come out with stable updates for all of these. They're trying to get around the locked bootloaders so that individuals who might not feel comfortable going in and enabling USB debugging, or who might not have a reliable ADB, would be able to get this installed. Many people who are installing this are citing significant increases and benefits to the 5.1 update, and I'm interested to see how this is going to work. I do have a Nexus 6. I do have a Nexus 7. Mr. Old School reached out to me on his concerning his Nexus 7 at one point in time. He got the 502 update. I'm sorry, the 501 update. You know, citing that, hey, you know, I'm having problems here. What's going on? Well, the next build, you know, just like with Apple's 8 when it iOS 8 when it came out, shortly after they released 8.1, for the simple fact that there were many issues that they were having. So if you're out there in the Nexus community and you're interested in this 5.1 update that's coming down, just Google update Nexus device to Android 5.1. There's plenty of websites that are out there. Once these images were released, many people picked them up and started hosting them on sites. Fandroid is a popular one, but I encourage you, if this is something that you are really interested in doing and you're not sure how to do it, xda-developers.com. I've been preaching that for at least the entire time that I've been on the air. The developers out there, they do this for free, most of them, and this is what they do. They set stuff up, and if you have questions and nobody has ever had that problem, I will be surprised. I haven't made that statement in a while, but there are plenty of people that are out there that are willing to help in this community to get you updated. Wall Street Journal. I am a Wall Street Journal fan, and I do subscribe to the Wall Street Journal on a daily basis. And they had an article that came out last week, 12 technology nuisances. Okay, related to mobile technology. The number one being the constant notifications. Boom, Facebook update. Boom, email. Boom, text. Boom, whatever other type of notification. Okay, I don't have Facebook on my phone for a reason. Okay, I have personal issues with Facebook to where Facebook resides mainly on my laptop. If I do access Facebook from my phone, it's through Chrome. I do not utilize the Facebook app for the simple fact some of the privacy concerns that are there and just various issues of that aspect. Number two, battery life. As we continue down this road of mobile technology, battery life is improving. I don't care what device you have. I don't care who your manufacturer is. Many people are advocating that battery life is improving. Plenty of apps that are out there that that can help increase battery life. Quite a few applications. If you're a Snapdragon processor individual, there's applications that are out there that monitor the processor and report to you saying this program's been running for this amount of time and you haven't used it. Do you want to shut it down? It'll automatically go through and it monitors the processor speed for you and the various things that the processor does. Number three, updates. Old hardware updates, slow Android updates. People are pointing at Google with this and it still baffles me as to why. Because when Google releases the factory image, it goes to the OEM. Samsung, HTC, LG, okay? And then from there, it goes to your carrier, whoever your carrier might be. So the OEM has to put their sauce on it and figure out all the issues that they have with theirs. And then they send it to the carrier who has to put their sauce on it, all right? I've developed a new respect for mobile carriers in this area. For the simple fact, some of them are putting update notifications on their website concerning where the factory image is for a particular device. In this particular case, Samsung is at the bottom of the list. LG is coming in third. Motorola and HTC are currently battling for first place, their first and second place respectively, because they turn around these quickly. And then once the factory image gets released from the OEM, it goes to your carrier. Most carriers, I say most, okay, because some of them, they have more sauce that they have to put on. Verizon, they have to put on your account info, and they have to put on My Calling and Verizon Cloud crap and all this. I mean, multiple different things that conflict with the Google underlie. Sprint, they've gotten a lot better. T-Mobile, everything that T-Mobile has on their carrier sauce, you can download off the Play Store. So none of it is required. The only thing that was on my Nexus 6 that was T-Mobile branded when I pulled it out of the box was Visual Voicemail. And what that is a voicemail app that will transcribe any voicemail that I get on my device. Now, as a Google Voice user, my voicemails are automatically transcribed. So I could remove that if I want to, but there are some people who still call me on the cellular number. Why, I haven't figured that out yet, but I might be in a place where I don't have data. So therefore, the regular phone line would be better for me. So updates, a lot of people up in arms concerning that. iOS doesn't put out enough. Android doesn't put them out quick enough. Remember, folks, every year, Apple hosts a major event. And they release the new iOS. They release their updates as necessary, and they're very quick about it. Microsoft, the exact same thing. They put out their mobile operating system. They are hard at work to get Windows 10 out there, and I'm still interested to see the first device that Microsoft brands approved for their new devices with the Windows 10 space. Samsung, once again, if you own a Samsung device, don't count on updates coming anytime soon. That just happens, okay? Issue number 5 is privacy. Remember, folks, any device that's connected to the internet has the tendency to be hacked or infiltrated. Unless you're running a black phone where they have been very proactive at patching their holes. Remember, privacy on the internet is a paradox. Item number 6, passwords, goes along with privacy, kind of. Many people have many different passwords for many different things. I have many different passwords for many different things, but I still continue to lock my device. Okay. Item number 7, Kickstarter cautions. Many people trying to back mobile things on Kickstarter that don't turn out. Unfortunately, the only thing I can tell you is be careful what you back on Kickstarter. Wearable inaccuracy. Now, wearables have been moving forward and becoming more and more dominant with a lot of different people, whether it be fitness trackers or things of that nature. I just recently enabled Google Fit on my Nexus, and I think it does a pretty good job of keeping track of my fitness. I mean, yeah, sure, it might be off a couple hundred steps here or there, but I have reasonable limits set for myself, and I've taken the time to actually measure it and see exactly where the inaccuracy is, but that's going to happen, okay? Nothing is 100% sure. Item number 9, many people, and once again, this goes back to moderation, my public service announcement at the top of the show, phone addiction. People have what's classified now as phantom phone syndrome. Phantom phone syndrome, where they go reaching for their phone because they think they've gotten a notification, but they actually haven't. Folks, exercise moderation here, okay? Do not become one of these people. Phantom phone syndrome is, it shouldn't even be a reality, okay? In the digital age that we're in, remember, moderation. If you, I'm still frustrated by this. Phantom phone syndrome. It just incessantly checking your phone for whatever update. Instagram, social media, Facebook, Google Plus, text messages, email, whatever. All of it. You're making more work for yourself and you're wasting your own energy. Moving on down the list, email has become a standard form of communication. And then, of course, confusing phone bills depending on who your carrier's through. I'm the kind of guy where when I open up that phone bill, I'm paperless on many things now. But when my cell phone bill comes in, it's itemized. And it has the non-clustered version and then the clustered version. The clustered version is pretty hard to read, but I can go through it and I can divide it up, whether it be my wife's phone or my phone, surcharges, non-surcharges, minutes used, things of that nature. Carriers are going back to the unlimited plans that they used to have to where it's one fee, one device, done. If you're confused about your phone bill, folks, check with your carrier. See what your carrier has to say. Talk to them. That's what customer service is there for. Unfortunately, many carriers are outsourced overseas because that's just the way it works out. Cheaper labor. But if you can get yourself a customer service representative that you can understand, they are there to help you. HTC has a brand new campaign. They're launching with their HTC One M9. It's called the, quote, uh-oh program, unquote. Here's the way it works. If you buy an HTC M9 and you crack the screen within a year of owning it, you can send it off to HTC and they will fix it for free. One free device fix before you move on. Okay? So there you go. If you're an HTC advocate and this is something that looks interesting to you, you can get signed up for the uh-oh program. A big controversy a couple weeks ago came down the line. Cortana, which is the Microsoft Digital Assistant, is going to be released for iOS and Android. And all of the research I've done concerning this story still doesn't give me a valid reason as to why. Now, Mr. Old School, being my advocate for Microsoft, might be able to give me a sensible reason as to why I would want Cortana on any of my Android devices. But that is a feature. If you work in an environment that is Windows-based and you're using Cortana and you go home and you find yourself in an iOS or an Android environment, I can see how that could kind of work. But it's still got questions that raise up in my mind concerning it. Why would I want to give my digital life to Microsoft? I don't know. I'm not a big advocate for Microsoft, and I haven't been for many years. But this is something that could raise questions to a lot of different people. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, Cortana is on its way to iOS and Android. Microsoft put that on the books recently, citing that they are in development with the folks at Apple and the folks at Google to get this incorporated. Will Cortana tear me away from Google now? Probably not. Okay, I'm not going to say the two magic words because I can do it on a regular basis and it works seamlessly in the environment that I'm in. I can do hands-free texting, hands-free phone calls. I can reply to emails through Google Now. Do I do that while driving? No, I don't. Okay, I'll make phone calls while I'm driving, but anything that requires heavy thought, I don't even touch it. It just stays on my hip, and that's where it is. Last time I was on, I brought a story down concerning the wank band. The folks at Pornhub, like I said, they are putting a rechargeable or a love your device by loving yourself. Love the environment while loving yourself, okay? Pornhub.com/wank band. The folks over at Cerebral Satire, they did a complete breakdown concerning this. Mr. Old School reached out, said, hey, if we give Killer Carpe Diem, who happens to be one of the panelists on Old School at the Movies, a wank ban, he could power a small village. Carp, not to be left out, replied, yes, more like an entire city, unquote. So this is a green device, for lack of a better term. No update concerning the story since the last time I reported on it, but it is something that I'm looking at in interest. Because it is a rechargeable device. Now, what particular motion is required to keep up to charge this? Not quite sure, but the fact that it came down from Gizmodo and they've reported on it pretty heavily concerning this has my eyebrows going up. A lot of times companies will release an announcement and it just won't go anywhere, but it's been backed up by Gizmodo. And it's been backed up by the folks at Hack 5 as well. Many people are reporting on this because, A, it's an interesting read, and B, who doesn't want to carry an extra battery around? Now, you'll be able to know, you know, I had a couple guys from some frats reach out to me citing that, yeah, we're going to get everybody here. That way we can get off the power company. You know, we can power our house with these things. Well, you put 50, 60 people in a house. Yeah, sure. But I'm not quite sure how big the battery band is on this either. So more information on the wank band as it is available. And Carp, if you want to come and power my city or even my house, you're more than welcome to come down, given the fact that you get all your visas and everything like that taken care of. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to put a wrap on me. I'm getting close to my hour. I'm trying my hardest not to go over an hour anymore. Just for the simple fact it's me, and I like to keep things short, simple, direct, and effective. Now, you can find Trending Mobile Technology right here on the Trending Topics Network. I've gotten pretty regular about posting information and podcasts again, gotten back in the habit, so thanks for those of you that have been patient. But we also, the brand new Trending Topics Network, we have many other shows as well. My philosophy is check in every day because you never know what's going to be trending next. We are the home of the hashtag. Most of the shows that are on this network have their own hashtag. Hashtag OSATM. That's Old School at the Movies. Weekly Box Office. Okay? Hashtag Cerebral Satire. Devil Vamp and Wayne is Baker, they sit down, they break down current events, strange stories, things that make you think, okay? Hashtag Tweet the Table, that's Captain Awesome and T-Mac, where they break down WWE and TNA, as well as the DSJNP WrestleCast. Heavyset's been hosting that here recently. They also break down professional wrestling. There's also hashtag Anything Goes, where Heavyset, literally anything goes. There's All Wine Aside, a bunch of ladies get together and talk about events that affect women as well as men. Mr. Old School has a show in the works that's going to be a counter to All Wine Aside. We've got Jack and Brian that have come back with Tunes as well as Tunes Game Time. That is hashtag Tunes Show. So check that out as well, folks. We're the home of the hashtag, the Trending Topics Network. The only person that doesn't really have a hashtag is me for Trending Mobile Technology. But all you have to do, put me at Piper the DJ and it'll get to me. I promise I'm the only Piper the DJ that's out there, and I've been out there for a while. Now from all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.